Amen. Isn't it a joy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. The presence of God that came into this sanctuary during prayer meeting today has been with us all day. And we're just pushing toward this altar service tonight to see what the Lord has in store for us. Amen. If it's your first service or first day to be in camp meeting, it's just been wonderful from the very, very beginning. Amen. The Lord has just moved in a marvelous, marvelous way. Amen. God has just done so many wonderful things, and we just give Him praise and glory. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us tonight. Amen. If you're going to help me preach, say amen. 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 I do appreciate your support tonight. Look with me in the Word of the Lord, Numbers chapter number 15. Amen. The book of Numbers chapter 15. Amen. Starting at verse number 37, reading down through the 41st verse. Amen. As you're turning there, I forgot to mention Brother Randall and Sister Dana allowing us to stay in their trailer. I do appreciate that. Thank you for the accommodations and just everyone looking after us and all the kind things that have been done. Thank you to each and every one. Amen. Praise the Lord. Numbers chapter 15, verse number 37. If you have it, say amen. 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 You can join with me as we stand for the reading of God's Word this evening. Amen. Several weeks ago, the Lord laid this passage of Scripture on my heart, so I want to try to obey the Lord tonight and preach what's in my heart and my mind. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and bid them that they make fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it, and remember all the commandments of the Lord, and do them, and that ye seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments, and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God." Amen. Verse number 38, the latter part of this verse, the Bible says, "And they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue." A riband of blue. Verse number 40 tells us three reasons why they did that. Number one, that they could remember the goodness of God and what God had did for them. Number two, it was a sign that they were obeying the commandments of God. And number three, it was a blessing because they were separated unto the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight about that ribbon of blue. Amen. If the Lord will help me, I want to preach to you on blue ribbon Christians. Amen. Let's pray tonight. Precious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the day you've given to me. I thank you, Lord, for this wonderful privilege. I don't take it for granted tonight. Father, I pray, Lord, I could speak as the oracles of God. I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost from heaven would just come by, captivate this crowd, captivate our minds, captivate our hearts, make us tender before the Lord, meet us in this altar tonight. Father, we'll praise you for it. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you see the one of you, turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, tell him you're going to help the preacher tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
While you're doing that, I forgot to announce King Mountain Church, Brother Randy Webb's. They have food prepared for everyone down in the dining hall after service tonight.
All right. So I am the only thing between you and what's going on in the dining hall. Amen. Praise the Lord. My dad was on the radio years ago when I was a teenager, and the man that owned the radio station became a friend of my father's. And so at 15, he asked me if I wanted to be a disc jockey and at the Southern Gospel radio station. And some of you young folks won't understand this, but that was back in the day when you spun records in 33s and 45s. And you've really never been embarrassed till you put George Yance on the wrong speed, and he sounds like the chipmunk. That's Tri-County. That's pretty embarrassing. But one day, they'd come in on Saturday and do live programs, and they'd be in the next studio, and I'd be in there, and I'd be given time signals and thing like that. And then they'd start this, because I was real young, 16, 17 years old. And they're in there preaching, and they're like, I'm feeling so much of God, I don't think I'm going to be able to quit. I'm feeling so much of God, and I respect the Holy Ghost, and, you know, I respect that. But my job was to give them the time limit. And so I'd be giving them signs, you know, 5, 3, 1, 30 seconds. And it was amazing how many times I realized that when that green light went red, and they knew they were not on the air anymore, it just seemed like the Spirit of God left them, and they just closed their Bible and walked out. You know, 2 minutes before, they couldn't shut up. They just couldn't shut up. But when they saw that, so if I see that green light go red tonight in your eyes, I'm going to know you got hamburgers and hot dogs and dessert and the fellowship. Matter of fact, I see red lights right now. I'm looking for green lights. Amen. How many going to help me preach for a little while tonight? Amen. Praise God. I know you will. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you about that ribbon of blue tonight. Amen. That ribbon of blue that God calls the children of Israel to weave within their garments, and so that they would be easily identified as the people of God. And how many knows we live? How many know we live in a world to where we are set apart for the glory of God? And God said He wanted them to weave that ribbon of blue inside of their garments that they could remember, that they would remember the goodness of God, that they would remember the redemption of God, that it was God that brought them out from Egypt, that it was God that brought them through the Red Sea, that it was the hand and the faithfulness of God that had chosen them and redeemed them, and they should never forget that they were the people of God. They should never forget about the goodness of God and the redemption of God that God brought them out. Can I tell you tonight, as I begin to preach about this ribbon of blue, amen, that you and I must never forget, amen, about the goodness of God. Amen. We must never forget where God brought us from. Amen. Amen. I don't want to magnify sin, and I don't want to magnify the devil tonight, but I do want to preach about the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank God. For without the grace of Jesus Christ, amen, all of us would be headed to hell. Maybe we might even be in hell tonight. Amen. But the grace of God, amen, that has appeared unto all men that bringeth salvation, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't have a sad song to sing. Amen. I don't have a sad song to sing about serving God, or I'm not down in the dumps and I'm not ready to throw in the towel and quit. Amen. God's been good. I said God's good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. Do you know He brought you out? I said, do you know that it brought you out? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Can you imagine some of us that were lost and far from God? But look at us tonight in the house of God. Amen. Saved, able to lift our hands and worship God, able to magnify God and feel the presence of God. I said, thank God for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many glad for that grace? How many glad for that ribbon of blue tonight that you know you're a child of God? I said, you're a child of God. You're not a child of the devil. You've been born again. I don't want to cross up your theology right here, but I don't really believe we're sinners saved by grace. When the blood of Jesus transformed me, amen, I'm not a sinner anymore. I'm a child of God. I said, I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I'm made to be the elect of God, the justified, the sanctified, and the righteous in Christ Jesus. What sins are you talking about? They're washed. They're forgiven. Oh, hallelujah, tonight when the devil comes talking to you. Woo! When the devil comes talking to you. Hallelujah. Just remind him about that ribbon of blue. You say, I'm not worthy, preacher. You're right, none of us are. But it's really not about us anyway. You ever seen somebody that talks about how humble they were for about 10 or 15 minutes?
It's not about us anyway. It's about that ruby red blood of Jesus. I said it's about that efficacious power of the Son of God. That one little drop, amen, of that blood that coursed down Calvary's brow, that flowed out of the veins of the sinless Son of God, has enough power to wash away every sin of past, present, and future, and all of the sins of all humanity in one great big black ball, and was put upon the shoulders of Jesus. But he said, Father, it is finished, and the veil was opened, and whosoever, I said, Brother Jeff, whosoever that calls on the name of the Lord, the same shall be saved. Woo! Glory. Hey, Brother Randy, come here for a second. Hallelujah. Jump on that piano now. I'm not a musician. My piano players, Brother Mark and Sister Janice, they got here, but they tell me that you can play Amazing Grace on the black notes. Do it for me. Black notes only. You know why that's important to me? Because if you look up Amazing Grace in the songbook, the words are attributed to John Newton. We know the story of John Newton. He was a slave trader that got saved. But if you look up the melody, it says unknown. John Newton wrote the words, but he didn't write the melody. And there are historians that would say that the black notes are the slave scale. And that more than likely, John Newton, on one of those slave ships from Africa to America, heard that chant down below. And he penned the words to that chant. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Can I preach tonight, friend? Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? You might have been a slave trader. You might have been an alcoholic, a drug addict, or raised in a preacher's home like I was, but I was lost. I said I was lost, but glory to God. I say glory to God. The blood of Jesus, he washed my sins away. I went down a sinner, but I got up a child of God. I went down lost, but I got up saved. Amen. Somebody ought to shout tonight for the blood of Jesus and the power in the Son of God. Oh, why don't you lift your hand and thank the Lord where he brought you from? Praise God, praise God. It was a sign of remembrance. But it was also a sign of commandment that they would do the commandments of God. Now watch, because the amens, they're going to start getting lower and lower and lower. Because I just said a word that we don't like to use in the American culture, even in the church culture, and that's the commands of God and the commands of Scripture. We'll shout. We'll shout about grace. We'll run and dance about the blood. But when it gets to sanctification, and when it gets to separation and holiness living, all of a sudden we start crawling back. But can I preach to us tonight? I'm not ashamed, amen, to be holiness. I'm not ashamed to be part of the independent holiness movement. I said, no, sir. I'm not ashamed to be sanctified. I'm not ashamed to be a tongue talker. I'm not ashamed to be Pentecostal holiness. I've got a ribbon of blue. I'm not in for the charismatics. I'm not in for the compromise. The book still says that without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We're in this hour now. Everybody gets to do what they want to do. But can I tell you, the book said, put the ribbon of blue so you remember that it's not a smorgasbord, that you get to keep what you like and ignore what you don't. Hallelujah. Thank God. I'm going to believe it's going to take old time holiness. I'm going to believe God's still interested in us being sanctified in spirit, in soul, and in body. Oh, preacher, you're going down that legalistic road tonight, not on your life. Not on your life, but I do want to remind us that holiness people and holiness preaching, both experientially and doctrinally, reminds us that we are trying to live as close to God as we possibly can, and we are not of this world, but that we have been born again. Amen. That our temples are not our own, but that we have been bought with the price, that we are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, and we are to march to the drums of heaven and not the cost of this world. And God help the holiness church once again to nail down the landmarks and to nail down the convictions and the standards that have brought us this far. I said it's too late of an hour. The Bible's too clear and God's holiness is too pure to compromise and to go the way of the world. But I say I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. Nobody. You may not even call what you said tonight, Brother Brent. You told your granddaddy, I'm going to preach it just like you did. You don't you know? They said when the no disrespect here, but when the old time preacher man dies, holiness is going to die with him. But oh, he was wrong. I said he was wrong. There's another generation that's got a ribbon of blue. There's another generation, amen, that's holiness. There's another generation that says we're going to live by the book. We're going to shout. We're going to dance, but we're going to do it in a sanctified manner. Glory, glory. I'd like to challenge every young person in this building to be holiness. I'm going to get, might get a little crossed up right here. I got some church people here. I've pastored in the same place 21 years. It's the only people that have ever asked me to pastor. I didn't know if I'd ever get another chance, so I'm still on my first church. I'm a 21-year-old rookie. I can't get out of the minor leagues. That's where I'm at, and I pray God will let me stay there till I'm done. I love it. I love it. I love it. But what I've found is most of the time, Brother Johnny Rex, I don't have trouble with the young folks about holiness. It's when they get in the car and they're going back to the house. It's who they're in the car with. You don't have to live like that. That's just him. That's just Brother Ryan. That's just him. I'm sure there's nobody like that tonight in this building. I'm sure there's nobody. But can I tell you, friend, you don't have power to change the book. I said, you don't have power to change the book. If it took it for grandpa and grandma, if it was right for mom and dad, if it's right for you, it's got to be right for your children. If it's right for you, why is it wrong for them? Amen. Instill it. Can I preach tonight that holiness does not cause rebellion? Holiness does not cause meanness. Holiness does not drive them away from the church. But what drives them away is when the preacher says this and you say something else, and the church and the home, they fight together. But I would to God, if you've got a man of God that's leading you, you'd get behind him and say, come on, preacher, would you preach to me? Would you tell me right? I want to take my family to heaven. Woo! Glory. Hallelujah. Is there any young folks tonight, you're serving God and you don't have any family at all going to church with you? You're the only one in your family Any young folks tonight? Throw your hand up. Any young folks at all? How about young folks that your mom and dad don't live holiness? Jacob, from my church. Hey, when my wife was starting high school, she was raised in a liberal church, an organized church. God sanctified her and convicted her of wearing pants. She started high school with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids. She started wearing skirts. Every day of her high school years, she wore a skirt to a public school with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of students. Rude comments, make fun if you want. But she says she lived for the weekend. She lived to get back to church and get in the presence of God. Can I tell you, young folks, you can make it. I said you can make it. And Brother Rick Simpson, when she graduated and they were voting for the best dressed of the school, they voted the girl they made fun of. They voted the girl they ridiculed. They voted Beth Mauser the best dress. I'm going to tell you, if you'll stand up for God, I said if you'll stand up for God, God will stand up for you. Oh, hallelujah. I said, church, amen, it's not time to lay down the standard. It's not time to forget, but it's time to lift up the standard and shout and tell the devil, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, glory. I was raised in a preacher's home in the Pentecostal Holiness Organization. I never heard of Benny Sella and L.L. Collins. I never heard of any of those preachers till I was about 16 years old. But Dad got to preaching holiness in our church. Pentecostal Holiness thought we was weird. Because we didn't go to the ball games. We didn't do mixed bathing at the summer youth camp. We didn't go to the roller rink. They thought we were fun. Or weird. Not fun. And so they were trying to help Dad out a little bit. Like out of the organization. We started having revivals, and God is my witness. During our revivals, we would unplug the TVs. Because we wanted God to visit our church. And we figured out unplugging. Dad did figure out unplugging that. People concentrated. There was no distractions. After revival, plug the TVs back in. Then we started realizing, and I'm using that term generically, I was a kid. Why don't we just get rid of the TVs? One revival. Brother Addis was preaching. Revival broke out. We had a big dumpster outside. 42 televisions went in that dumpster. But Jimmy Jewel, that's all it could hold was 42. Some folks had 4 and 5 televisions. Brother Jack Pyle had a 12-gauge shotgun. Some folks gave it to the Goodwill. Some wanted to sell them. I don't know if they had the victory completely or not. If they're selling them, you can settle that. But at least they're getting rid of it. Jack Pyle said he didn't want anybody to see it. He took a 12-gauge shotgun and he blew apart every television he owned. I don't know how many televisions that we got rid of. Amen. During that revival. Amen. Movies was a no-doubter. We had already given movies up. But I'm going to tell you, just 20-some years later, I'm starting to see and hear in the holiness movement, we're trying to bring that stuff back in. That television's not that bad. That movies are all right. You just got to watch the ratings. I'm telling you, the devil is a liar. I said the devil is a liar. Our movement has always been against jewelry. It's always been against TV. It's always been against movies. And it always will. I said I got that ribbon of blue. I said I feel the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I don't have my head hung down in shame, but I'm feeling God trying to stir our people one more time. Woo! Is your daughter here, Brother Tim? Where's she at? Come here. I'm not going to call you by name, and I'm going to tell you where you serve. A lot of people know. But I'm going to tell you, put that around. Just walk around a little bit. Because I know you're in a place where you feel like you're all alone. I know you're in a place, amen, where you can't even let your light shine like you want to. But I want you to know, hear me. I said, I want you to know you're not alone. I said, you're not alone. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to give in to the pressure. You don't have to compromise. Not that I think you are, but I'm telling you, you've got that ribbon of blue. You're a child of God. I said, you're a child of God. You're Holy Ghost filled. I'm telling you, God's with you. And if God be for us, who can? Who can? Who can be against us? My God. Amen. Stir us, church. Stir us, God. Amen. One more time. Amen. Let us stand and shout and glorify God. Glory. Glory. There's my coattail right there. I'm not going to tell you how long that skirt length's got to be. Because there's some that have gone to seed on that. Oh, I'm going to get in trouble right here. But I don't think Jesus in Revelation 1 was trying to give dressing advice for women. All right, I'm going to leave that alone right there. Because I think you got a gender issue if you preach that. But I do think on the other extreme, because we don't want to be tagged with some that are going to seed on it, that maybe we're not saying anything because we're afraid we're going to be classified with them. But honey, if you're always pulling it up and you're always pulling it down and you can't walk and you can't be modest and you can't get on the platform, it's probably too low, probably too high. Anybody going to help while I preach tonight? I said, I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I'd rather be an old-time Christian. I said, I'd rather be. Oh, brothers, I need you. Hey, I said, it's no time for us to be divided. I said, it's time for us to get together. Amen. Why don't we focus on what we've got in common? Why don't we focus on that ribbon of blue? Why don't somebody tonight shout and say, I'm a child of God. I've got that ribbon of blue as well, preacher. Hey, you can have your personal convictions. I worked for Brother Addis for 9 months. Brother Addis had a personal conviction that you're supposed to preach in a white shirt. I don't have that personal conviction. But he never got up and said everybody else had to do it. My dad has a personal conviction he will not eat where they serve alcohol. I never went to Pizza Hut growing up. I never knew you could go to where they serve alcohol until I got in the holiness movement. I remember being 14 and sneaking to Red Lobster with some people in our church. He about cut me out of the wheel right there. One time we were in Ponderosa. In Ponderosa, Brother Rice, he knows. Ponderosa had, you know those old bank lines where they had those velvet ropes when the line was too long, those old kind of velvet ropes that kind of controlled the crowd. One time we were in Ponderosa. And my mom looked at my dad. It's Sunday afternoon. We've got an evangelist with us. We started revival that day. And my mom looked up there and said, Ed, she said, those are beer taps up there. He said, nah, this is Ponderosa. He had never been in a restaurant to serve alcohol. It was his conviction. He looked up there and sure enough, he saw a sign that said Budweiser. I'm telling you, the line was filled with people. You know, we was with the Baptists in the crowd and the Presbyterians, everybody going to the steakhouse, going to Corral Ponderosa on Sunday. My dad said, my God, this is Ponderosa. What's this world coming to? He straddled those velvet ropes. He parted that like the Red Sea. We're all standing there. That evangelist has got big bug eyes. But I'm telling you, it was his conviction. I said it was his conviction. Amen. I wish you'd get some convictions. Amen. I wish tonight we get in this altar and we say, God, I need you to breathe on me. Anybody in this building right now, you'd stand to your feet and say, God, I want to live holy. I want to live righteous. I want to live sanctified. I want the power of God. I want the glory of the Lord. Oh, come on, let's worship God all over this building. Hey. Oh, come on, Brother Randy. Hey. Is there a young person in this building that says, I'm ready for that ribbon of blue? I'm ready to let the world know I've got my mind made up. I know we've sang it for years, but it just doesn't get any better. I choose. Brother Mark, come on, sing it with us. I choose to be a Christian. Now, I struggled with this today. Because I know some will say, oh, you to go to the holiest meeting, they bash everybody and they preach against everything. And somebody says, you ought to preach to the lost. And I'd like to, but I've tried to obey God. But God brought back to my mind a story 15 years ago. Sister Mae Newsom, she had backslid on God. If you saw her now, you'd think she'd been sanctified her whole life. But I visited her. I was trying to get her and Brother May to come back to church. They fell out, got hurt. She said, I'm coming this Sunday. I got my message ready. But oh, somewhere around Friday, Saturday, God started changing my direction. I kept finding myself over there. Come out and be separate. Come out and be separate. I said, Lord, not this Sunday. She's coming. I want her saved. I've worked for a year, Lord. It's this Sunday. God is my witness. I went to the pulpit. I had those notes, what God really wanted, but I had that little pretty sermon over there about inviting the backslider. Amen. But I'm praying before I'm preaching, and I just cast my lot, and I said, God, here we go. I started preaching about coming out and being separate. God is my witness. She hit the altar that morning, amen, and prayed through to old time salvation, and she said it this way when she testified. She got up and she said, Brother Philip, she said, I told Ag, I'm going to church. And if they're still preaching what they were preaching when I backslid years ago, I'm going to get saved and I'm never going to quit again. I said, oh, thank you, Jesus. I thought I was preaching her out, but God was bringing her in. I said, God was bringing her in. I'm not trying to preach you out tonight. I'm trying to bring you in. God's got good things. God's got good things. Because we're separated unto the Lord. You see, a lot of times in holiness preaching, all we think about is being separated from the world. But you're separated unto God. You didn't get that. I said, you didn't get that. You just think we're trying to take something away from you. But God's bringing you over here unto himself. We used to say it like this. The world didn't give it. I said, the world didn't give it to me. And the world can't take it away. Anybody feel God right now? I said, somebody lift your hands and love God.
I met a man the other day who looked at me and said,
hey,
so many times I've seen your kind before. You can't do this. And you can't do that.
Hey!
You're all bound by rules and restrictions. What a dreary life you Christians must observe. Oh, but don't look at me in sympathy and think that I've been cheated by not doing all those things that you call fun. Don't think that I'm listening for the trumpet sound. This choice I make will be lifting me out of here.
Well, I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. Nobody's making me do it. This is how I want to live.
You
decide for you.
I'll
decide for me. Holiness is what I want to be. I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. Nobody's making me do it. This is how I want to live. You decide for you. I'll decide for me. Holiness is what I want to be.
Come on, church. We're going to have a move of God. Come on.
You decide for you.
Hey.
I'll decide for me.
Come on, young folks. Come on, lift your hands. Love God.
I want to be.
Come on.
I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this.
Come on, church.
Nobody's making
Come on, we're going to have a move of God. Come on.
I'll decide for me.
Hallelujah.
Holiness is what I want to be.
Oh, come on, young folks, lift your hands. Come on, start lifting your hands and love God. Come on, some of you standing back there, you should be at this altar. Come on, if you believe in holiness right now, I said if you believe in a sanctified life, come on, young folks, come on, young men, come on, mom and dad. Hey, there's room in this altar. Come on right now. Come on. We're going to sing it. We're going to shout a while. But oh, God, I got my mind made up. I said I got my mind made up.
I choose to be a Christian. I choose to live like this. Nobody's making me do it. This is how I want to live. You decide for you. I'll decide for me. Holiness is what I want to be.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I choose to be a Christian.
Hey.
I choose to live like this.
Well, Come on, let's worship Him. Let God send the Holy Ghost right now. Come on, let God refill
you
in the Holy Ghost.
For you. I'll decide for me.
Oh, you come on, mom. Come on, dad.
You.
Come on, church.
I'll decide
love
for me.
The Lord. Come on, let's love
Holiness
the Lord.
Is